Can you give me a thumbs up, Mark? Title of today's message is, Has the Resurrection Already Passed? Has the resurrection already passed? I'd like to start in the Old Testament first. Paul said to the Jews, he spoke as a Jew, and to the Gentiles, to the Gentiles. So I'd like to first address those, if I had to address those who don't believe in the New Testament, but just the Old, but start with the Old about the resurrection. Was the resurrection taught in the Old Testament? If you ask in the days of Jesus, if Scripture taught the resurrection, you would have got different answers. The Pharisees would say, of course Scripture teaches the resurrection. However, the Sadducees would say, there is no resurrection. But what do the Scriptures of old really teach us about the resurrection? Point number one, in Acts 23:6-10, Acts 23:6-10, we find that the Apostle Paul had to deal with this issue of the resurrection and differing beliefs by the religious leaders of his day. And these were the Jewish religious leaders. Acts 23:6-10, but when Paul perceived that one part was Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee, concerning the hope and the resurrection of the dead I am being judged. And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, nor angel, or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes and the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. You see, we find that the subject of the resurrection was a very controversial one in Paul's day, wasn't it? It was so controversial that the Apostle Paul was able to get the factions in disagreement to forget about their disagreement with him and start attacking each other. It was definitely an explosive topic. Jesus also had to deal with the issue of people not believing in the resurrection. In Mark 12:18-27, we find Jesus having to address this issue of people believing in no resurrection. Mark 12:18-27, then some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him, and they asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying, he left no offspring. And the second took her, and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. The third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as a wife. And Jesus answered and said to them, Are you not therefore mistaken? Because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God. For when they arise, or when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses in the burning bush passage how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. Those who don't believe in the resurrection don't know the Scriptures, just as Jesus stated. When Jesus made this statement, the New Testament had not been written. So he was obviously talking about the Old Testament Scriptures, as we refer to them today. So are there Scriptures in the Old Testament that teach a resurrection? point number three, which may surprise you, it didn't me, the words resurrect or resurrection do not appear in the Old Testament. I did a search on this to do this message, and zero hits. I was quite surprised when I did this search and did not find these words in the Old Testament at all. So are the Sadducees correct in their belief of no resurrection? Did Jesus know what he was talking about when he said they did not know the Scriptures? In Isaiah 26:17-19, we find our first witness of the belief of the resurrection in the Old Testament. Something is established in the mouth of only two witnesses. So can we find even more than that in the Old Testament? Let's see. Isaiah 26:17-19. As a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs, when she draws nearest to the time of her delivery, so have we been in your sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth, nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Your dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust, for your dew is like the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So we see Isaiah believed in the resurrection and that he would be a part of it. Is he the only prophet that wrote of the resurrection that shows that that's what they believed? What about Daniel? Daniel 12:18-13, we find that God told Daniel he would be a part of the resurrection at the end of the days. We know from other scriptures that's going to be at the return of the Messiah. Daniel 12:8-13, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days. At the end of the days. Notice, God did not tell Daniel he was going to die and go to heaven. That's not what he told Daniel. However, he did tell Daniel that he would arise to his inheritance, and we know from Scripture that the meek will inherit the earth, and that those in the first resurrection will reign with Jesus the Messiah for 1,000 years here on the earth. Not in heaven, here. Point number five, in Job 14:1-15, we find that Job believed that he would await his change in the grave. He did not think he went straight to heaven at death. This teaching does not come from Scripture. Job 14:1-15. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me to judgment with yourself? Who can bring a clean thing out of the unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. Look away from him that he may rest, till like a hired man he finishes this day. For there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. But man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last, and where is he? As water disappears from the sea and a river becomes purged and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal until your wrath is past, that you would point me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. You shall call, and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. Job knew he was going to die someday, but Job also knew he was going to be changed someday. Psalms 6, 4 through 5, King David shows he did not believe the dead are in heaven praising God. While a person is in the grave before they are resurrected, they have no conscious thoughts. They are asleep. They await the resurrection. Psalm 6, 4 through 5, return, O Lord, deliver me, O save me from your mercy's sakes, for in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? Who will give you thanks? Also in Psalms 88, 9 through 13, we are asked if the dead will live again and rise again to praise God. Psalm 88, 9 through 13, my eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. We work wonders for the dead. Shall the dead arise and praise you? Selah. Shall the loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Also in Ecclesiastes 9, 9 through 10, we find that King Solomon also realized that the dead are not off in heaven. Ecclesiastes 9, 9 through 10, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. And in Jeremiah 30, 8 through 11, we find that the prophet Jeremiah believed that King David would be resurrected. They did not use that terminology, resurrected. They tended to use the terminology, rise up. But it's still teaching the same thing, isn't it? Jeremiah 38 through 11, for it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. This is in the Old Testament. The Jews are without excuse. Therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you. But I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished. Jeremiah did not think King David was off in heaven. He believed, just as Jesus taught, that no one has ascended unto heaven except the Son of Man. Jeremiah realized that King David would be resurrected in the future, just as those who study and know their Bibles realize. When Jeremiah wrote this, King David was long dead, and for anyone to think this has already happened, then I ask, where is King David? If he's raised up for Israel, where is he? I'd like to meet him. Wouldn't you like to meet him? This is clearly a future event. It is a prophecy of the future. It is not an event of the past. In Ezekiel 37, 1 through 28, we find the prophet Ezekiel being taught and taking notes on a future resurrection. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 28. Actually, before we go there, let's go to Zechariah 14, 5. You know, this is where, I don't have this one in here, but Zechariah 14, 5. Right by Matthew. Zechariah 14, 5. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee, and you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. You know, the resurrection and the Messiah coming back in the Old Testament. I mean, there it is. That was Scripture before the New Testament was wrote. And that's the Scriptures that were taught to the Jews for them to see what we see today. The Messiah is going to return with His saints and rule on the earth. And back to Ezekiel 37, 1 through 28. Ezekiel, another prophet of God who clearly knows, clearly understood, was clearly shown by God there is a resurrection. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. He came upon me and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God of these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. That kind of sounds like a resurrection to me, doesn't it? Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. You know, if a body, even if it has all the physical features and everything, without the breath of life, it's still dead. It's still not alive. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. These weren't just a few, this was an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Do you comprehend that? The whole house of Israel. Yes, an exceedingly mighty army. They indeed say, listen to what these Israelites who have died, what their bones say. Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I the Lord have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, it's for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Then join them one together for yourself into one stick, and they will become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, will you not show us what you mean by this? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will join them with it, with the stick of Judah, to make them one stick. And they will be one in my hand. And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. Did you hear that? They will never be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with the detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all the dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them and set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacles also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God. They shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. Some have the nerve to say that this has already happened. Well, then they need to show me King David. I want to see King David ruling over the nation of Israel. Where is he if this has already occurred? I'll tell you where King David is. He is in his grave. And he will be raised at the last trump, at the return of Christ, just like all the other first fruits. Isn't that incredible to know? Isn't that incredible knowledge that we have been blessed with? What a truth. What a jewel. In Hosea 3, 4 through 5, we find that Ezekiel was not alone in the belief that a resurrected King David would be in the latter days, be ruling over the nation of Israel. Hosea 3, 4 through 5, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord in his goodness in the latter days. We haven't seen that happen yet. Right now we see pretty scattered. Does it matter that we hold to this truth of the resurrection and reject the false teachings of heaven or hell when you die? I think we find the answer in Hosea 4:6. Remember, we are training to be kings and priests and in the soon coming kingdom of God. And our children are considered holy seed if God has called us. Remember that. As I read this scripture, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. Pretty powerful words. But is the Old Testament the only place the resurrection is taught? Some teach there is no resurrection. Others teach that the resurrection has already happened, that we go to heaven or hell at death. We've seen in the Old Testament scriptures, it teaches a resurrection. Well, we believe the Old and the New Testament's one book. You should be able to find the same thing in the New Testament, shouldn't you? In fact, we do. Even though the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection, that doesn't mean that it isn't going to come or that it wasn't taught. In Luke 20:33-38, we see a little more of what Jesus taught about the resurrection as Luke includes some details that Mark didn't. Luke 20:33-38, therefore in the resurrection, whose wife does she become? We quoted the Mark before. For all seven had her as a wife. Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who counted worthy to attain that age and the... What is that word? Now, resurrection may not be, that word may not be in the Old Testament, but it's in the New Testament quite a few times. Here's one of them, a quote from the Messiah. And the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are married, nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. The Messiah believed in a resurrection and taught of a resurrection. Why don't the ministers of the world teach a resurrection? Jesus did. But even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised. That the dead are raised. When he called the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, for he's not the God of the dead but of the living, for all live to him. Jesus stated that those who attain the resurrection are equal to angels and the sons of God. He did not say they become angels. He said they become sons of God and are equal to the angels. You see, today we are below the angels, but after being resurrected, we will be equal to them. Some may believe that because Christ said God is the God of the living, that the dead are already raised and either in heaven or hell. You've probably been told that, haven't you? But this is not what Christ taught. And we need to study more scriptures to understand this, so we may know the scriptures and the power of God. Matthew 10:5-15. We find Jesus taught a future day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah. He did not teach that they were all burning in hell forever and ever. Jesus did not teach that. Jesus did not teach that you go straight to heaven or hell when you die. That teaching comes from pagan traditions, not from scriptures, and certainly not from our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Matthew 10:5-15. Matthew 10:5-15. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus didn't tell his disciples to go teach the gospel to everyone. He gave a specific few, a specific people that they were supposed to go and teach. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belt, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Now wait a minute. What does Jesus mean that it will be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of the judgment, than for that city? Didn't somebody tell him that they were already in hell burning and suffering forever since they did not repent and accept Jesus before they died? Didn't somebody tell him that? Well, I don't think Jesus is the one who needs to be taught. I think the traditional Christians who teach this heaven and hell at death fallacy need to listen to the teachings of Jesus like they claim they do. Jesus knew that there is a future judgment day for Sodom and Gomorrah, and this requires a future resurrection. Now, some may have you turn to Jude 1, 5-7 and claim that people of Sodom and Gomorrah are already in hell suffering just as their teachers have been teaching them. Well, let's take a look at this scripture. Let's take a little look at it. Jude 1, 5-7. Jude 1:5-7, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." Destroyed those who did not believe. They saw all those miracles. Do you think miracles will make you believe? Do you really think that? They saw all those miracles, and yet he had to destroy those who did not believe. "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner of these to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." I looked this phrase up in the Interlinear Bible, which has the Greek words with the English. Vengeance of eternal fire is translated from the phrase eternal vengeance of fire. The eternal adjective should go with the vengeance of God, not the fire. And that is pretty easy to prove, because where did the fire take place? Where did the fire of Sodom and Gomorrah take place? On earth. And Lot's wife saw it and perished, and Lot saw the smoke of it. So where is that fire today, if it is eternal? We should still see it. Lot's wife saw it before she turned to salt. It went out, and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah died and became ashes, and they await the resurrection and the judgment, just as the angels await judgment. We find in Matthew 11:20-24, Jesus teaching a future day, a future judgment day for Sodom once again. He didn't just teach it in one place. Here it is again, Matthew 11:20-24. "Then he began to rebuke the cities which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." Jesus clearly did not believe that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah have already gone to hell to burn and suffer forever. He understood there is a future resurrection of both the just and the unjust. In Luke 14:12-14, Luke 14:12-14, Jesus stated that the reward shall be paid at the resurrection of the just. He did not say the just will be rewarded when they die and go straight to heaven. That is a fallacy. Luke 14:12-14. Then he also said to them who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, don't ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Since Jesus spoke of a future resurrection of the just, why doesn't traditional Christianity teach it? Why do they get so upset with us when we try to teach it? Jesus taught it. In John 5:24-29, we find Jesus teaching a resurrection of all who are in the graves. Resurrection of all who are in the graves. That's what Jesus taught. John 5:24-29. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. The scripture clearly shows Jesus taught and believed in a future resurrection. Notice he said that the hour is coming. He did not say the hour has already passed. Why would there be a resurrection of all, both just and unjust, if they are already in heaven or hell? If people have an immortal soul, what is the reason for a resurrection anyway? In John 3:1-21, we find Jesus taught that nobody had gone to heaven except for himself. Nobody. John 3:1-21. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things, can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. That's a real interesting thing, Nicodemus said. We know you're a prophet from God. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel, and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Now, why did they love darkness better than light? Why didn't they love Jesus, the light of the world? He gives us the answer. And man loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Think about that. If no one has ascended to heaven except Christ, then where is Abraham? Where is Isaac? Where is Jacob? Where is Joseph? Where is Moses? Where is Joshua? Where is Daniel? Where is Jeremiah? I will tell you where they are at. They are in their grave, awaiting the resurrection. And the wicked are in the grave, reserved for a future resurrection of judgment, just as Jesus Christ, our Savior, taught. Jesus was not the only one that believed and taught a future resurrection in the New Testament. In John 11:17-27, we find that Martha believed in a future resurrection. Martha, the sister of Lazarus, who was taught directly by Jesus, did not believe people go straight to heaven or hell when you die. She did not believe that her dead brother went off to heaven. She didn't believe that. And Jesus did not tell her that her brother was already in heaven. John 11:17-27, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the woman around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. He had died. He was dead. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. What about that? Martha knew what Protestants and Catholics don't know. But she knew. She was taught by the Messiah. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Martha clearly believed in a future resurrection in the last day, just as Jesus taught her. Why doesn't the world believe it? In Acts 24, 10 through 16, we find the Apostle Paul also teaches a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Not surprising to me, he taught it too. Why don't the churches today teach what Paul taught back then? They claim to. Acts 24, 10 through 16, then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, "And as much as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city. Nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." So we find the Apostle Paul teaching the same resurrection that Jesus taught and Martha believed in. Something different than what traditional Christianity teaches today. Is it any wonder that many who begin going to church and being taught false doctrines and then start reading the Bible for themselves lose faith in their religion? Is it a surprise to you that the Catholic Church in the past did not want the Bible in a common tongue? They did not want this to happen. So that the typical churchgoer, the common man like you and me, could read for himself what the Apostle and Christ really taught and compare it to the myths and pagan customs that traditional Christianity has handed us, or tried to hand to us. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1-58, the Apostle Paul once again clearly teaches a future resurrection. Why don't people who claim to believe and follow the Bible believe these scriptures? 1 Corinthians 15, an incredible chapter. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. Persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and you believe. Now if Christ has preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and if we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Christ was resurrected too from the dead. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, after those who are Christ at his coming. Repeat 23 again. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, after those who are Christ at his coming. That's what Paul believed and taught. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought the beast at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As was the man of the dust, so also are those who are made of dust, and as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. But behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And when does this resurrection of the just occur that Paul believed in and taught about? Does it occur at one's death or at the return of Christ at the last trump? I repeat verses 51 through 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus taught. That's what the Old Testament taught. Maybe if the churches today continue to keep the Feast of Trumpets as they should, then they wouldn't be so blind on this issue of the resurrection. In Philippians 3, 7 through 16, we find again that the Apostle Paul taught the resurrection of the dead. What a surprise. Philippians 3, 7 through 16. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. If by any means I may obtain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold on of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to be to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. If you have an immortal soul that never dies, then why do you need to be resurrected anyway? What's the purpose? What's the point? In 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 19, we see that the Apostle Paul had to deal with false doctrines about the resurrection. Even in his day, even in the Church of God, he had to deal with false doctrines about the resurrection. 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 19. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. And they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Think about this. If you are teaching that you go to heaven or hell upon death, then you're teaching the resurrection has already passed, aren't you? Now, maybe Hymenaeus and Philetus didn't teach exactly what traditional Christians teach today about heaven and hell, but they were teaching false doctrines about the resurrection. This we know for sure. Notice Paul's reaction to this false doctrine. Was it a reaction of appeasement or saying that we should just ignore it? Is that what the Apostle Paul told us? 2 Timothy 2:14 through 19. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already passed, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Apostle Paul thought it was a serious matter, and so do I. We should not tolerate such false doctrines in the church of God. Otherwise, it will spread like cancer, just like the Apostle Paul taught. Were people who were resurrected back to physical life in the past yanked back from heaven? In Matthew 27:50-54, we find saints being resurrected back to physical life. So did these people get yanked back from heaven? Matthew 27:50-54. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earthquake, and the rocks were split. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after His resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." These people were resurrected from their physical graves back to physical life. They were not pulled back down from heaven, but raised back up from the graves, where they were awaiting the resurrection. And remember the words of the Messiah when He said that there will be people who will hear His voice and be raised. And He said, "The time is coming. The time is now." Lazarus heard His voice and was resurrected. And so did these people. And there is another future incredible resurrection to come. In Hebrews 6:1-3, we clearly see that the resurrection was a foundational doctrine of the early church. Hebrews 6:1-3. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to the perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits. It was a foundational doctrine of the church that has been rejected by many churches. And we've seen Hebrews 11:32-40, why the resurrection has not already taken place. We find out in 11:32-40 why God has chosen to let the just sleep in their graves until Christ returns. Do you want to know why they don't go straight to heaven or hell? Do you know why? Hebrews 11:32-40. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain by the sword. They wandered about in the sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. They were accounted worthy, but they have not yet received the promise. Why not? Why not? Verse 40, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. That's pretty amazing. We are going to be resurrected with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the 12 apostles, Paul, Barnabas, Martha, Lazarus, all these great people we read about in God's Word, who have died and sleep in their graves. Brethren, they wait for us, that we may be raised together. What an honor, what a privilege to be counted as a first fruit. Scripture makes it very clear. The just will be raised together at the return of Christ. In Hebrews 11:1-40, we again find a future resurrection, and we are clearly shown that the patriarchs of the Old Testament did not go to heaven when they died. Hebrews 11:1-40. Did I just go over that? 1:32-40. And I'll let you read that. We know that the holy day of the Feast of Trumpets pictures this incredible time when Christ will return and all the saints of old will be resurrected. I love the Feast of Trumpets. It's not a burden. Holy days are not a burden. They are such a blessing. Such a blessing. The traditional churches of today have lost the truth of the holy days. And sadly, they have lost the truth about the future resurrection. The Apostle John wrote in Revelation 24:6, Revelation 24:6, that the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This once again clearly shows that the dead are not in heaven or hell immediately after death. Another witness, another clear witness that heaven and hell doctrine is just a flat out lie. And I'm tired of hearing it, to be quite honest. I'm tired of being lied to. Aren't you? I want the truth, not a lie. Revelation 20, 4 through 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their heads, on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, these scriptures do require a little bit of explaining, but it is far easier for me, who believes in a future resurrection, to explain these scriptures, and for someone that believes that the resurrection has already passed, to explain these scriptures. The first resurrection happens at the return of Christ, as we find from other scriptures. The first part of verse 5 is inserted by the author to clarify the other resurrection. This is the first resurrection should go with the first part of verse 4. And it would be more clear in our English language if you put parentheses around the first part of verse 5 to show it is a clarification of a new point. But we know this because there's other scriptures to turn to that show us that the first resurrection is at the return of Jesus Christ. That's how you clarify scripture, with other scriptures. Revelation 20, 4 through 6. Once again, and I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and the judgment was committed to them, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark of their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And I have open parentheses, but the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. Close parentheses. Going back to the first point, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such a second death is no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. But even if you believe the punctuation is correct, there is no explanation that fits with the heaven or hell when you die doctrine. Scripture clearly teaches future resurrections, not the heaven and hell upon death lie. In 2 Peter 2, 1 through 22, the Apostle Peter also taught a future judgment day for the wicked. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 22. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord whom brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you and with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah and one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who is oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Do you kind of feel like Lot today? I mean, turn on the television. It's wicked. It's a nasty world out there. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. and especially those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promised them liberty, yeah, that's what they promised them, liberty. They themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it was happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. So we have Jesus, Martha, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, the Apostle Peter, all believing in a future resurrection of the dead at the last day when Christ returns. And yet, traditional churches of today still refuse to accept it. They cling to this false doctrine of heaven or hell when you die, even though the Scriptures clearly show it to be in error. Now, some people I have known the wonderful truth of the future resurrection, but because of these false teachers, as Peter spoke of in the above Scriptures, they have returned to this false teaching of heaven or hell immediately when you die. Some have even asked me, what difference does it make? At their next conscious moment, they will be resurrected, so what difference does it make if they believe this heaven or hell when you die doctrine? The difference is that a future resurrection is truth and the other is a lie. The difference is that one makes God a powerless loser where most of mankind will go to hell and suffer forever, while the other true doctrine shows the power of God with a plan of salvation for all mankind, where most will likely enter the kingdom of God as sons, and the few who refuse will be mercifully burned up as ashes and not to suffer for eternity. That's the plan of God. And that's what they have missed. Why would God's people propagate a lie that makes God look bad when we have the truth that shows the great power and love and mercy of our great Creator God in heaven. That's the difference. And that is why I expose the heaven or hell when you die doctrine for the lie that it is. He that has eyes to see, let them see. He that has ears to hear, let them hear.